नमस्ते. सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्. ॐ So, having completed about 15 different topics, today we will do a summary of these 15 topics. More than calling it a summary, I think it's important for us to understand that this session is required more from connecting all the different pieces that we saw together, because we've picked up lots of different ideas from various topics, and they all need to come together ultimately, and therefore the summary becomes all the more important. And while revisiting these topics, we will also try and see some of them which are important. We will go through them once again so that, you know, we can all remember some of the important and key points that we have seen here, right? So let's move on. So first of all, the disclaimer. The spiritual journey is a very, very long one, spanning often multiple lifetimes, multiple janmas. So this course is only to present a brief overview, and we saw that, right? And it's not definitely a substitute for a proper, consistent, systematic study, right? And by the end of the session, we'll also show you how long, you know, it will take, what kind of path you can take. Depending on each person's journey, you can choose to do it in different ways. So we'll see that towards the end. So let's move on. So we actually started the session with this shloka on Ahara Nidra Bhayamaitunam Cha. This is actually a verse from Hitopadesha, right? And basically what this said was that the human beings are bestowed with buddhi, which is very different from other living beings. And because God has blessed us with that special faculty called buddhi, and which, you know, in English we generally use the term free will because it makes more sense in this, you know, circumstance. So the intelligent way of using that special faculty is to go through a scriptural study and actually achieve the goals of life. And we wanted to, if you see the human life, we actually saw four goals, and we also said that moksha is the superior goal, right? So the four goals that we went through were, we said artha, kama and dharma are part of preyaha, and shreyaha is moksha from all these three, right? Most people work just for artha and kama entire life because they're not even exposed to dharma or moksha. Artha being your, you know, basic security needs, food, wealth, etc. And kama being the special desires that you may have once the basic needs are fulfilled. Now, only in Hindu religion, we have this concept called punyam, papam, etc. And therefore, the exposure to this itself is limited to the far and few who actually understand Hinduism. And now, beyond preyaha, we are talking about shreyaha, which is moksha, which is freedom from slavery with regard to preyaha. Why do we say slavery with regard to preyaha? Because artha, kama and dharma, any amount we try and accomplish, we will always have this feeling of apurnatvam. We will not feel fulfilled how much of money we have. If one desire gets fulfilled, another desire will take its place. Similarly, dharma, you can go on accumulating any amount of punyam so that you get a better life in the next janma. Whereas shreyaha is moksha, and moksha is actually dealing with the way, the pursuit by which you can have freedom from this kind of apurnatvam. All the other three purusharthas, namely artha, kama and dharma. So that's what we saw, and we said in order to achieve any of these four purusharthas, right, there is, the shastram provides a beautiful infrastructure in terms of the scriptures, in terms of the infrastructure, in terms of ashramas, as well as in terms of the vyavasthas itself. So therefore, Shastram, we saw, comprised of all these levels hierarchically from Shruti to Bhashya. I'm not going through the details, but the important takeaway from this slide is that Shruti or Vedas, also known as Vedas, has Veda Purva Bhaga and Veda Anta Bhaga, while all of these majorly cater to attaining Preyaha, Veda Anta Bhaga actually focuses on just Shreyaha or Moksha Purushartha. Now, in Sutras, Smritis, Itihasa, Purana, etc. also, you will have Vedanta topics and principles elaborated. However, the main portion of the Shastram, which deals with the Veda Anta Bhaga, is part of Shruti. Now, we do have some Prakarana Granthas which expand on the Vedanta, but still they will all be only expansion or expositions on the Vedanta part of Shruti. So, in all of this, what we need to understand is, while you have Smriti like Manu Smriti, Itihasa, Puranani, etc., it is not possible for us to get the Vedanta Sara from any of these directly. The Vedanta or the philosophical aspect or the way by which we can gain moksha is covered only in Vedanta Bhaga, also referred to as Upanishad. So, all the Upanishads will map to this Vedanta portion which we see here. And Itihasa Puranani sometimes take one value or one aspect and then expand, right? The reason I said this is sometimes what happens is in Smriti, Itihasa, Purana, there are a lot of paraphernalia and lots of stories, lots of do's and don'ts, etc. And we get lost in that and say, oh, Hinduism has this, has that, etc. But we forget that the main part of the scriptural study, which is Vedanta, which is for satisfying Shreyaha, is actually in the Upanishad part or Vedanta. So, it's important to remember this. But on the whole, the entire Shastram caters to all the Purusharthas, right? But if you want to say, attain Punyam or increase your Punyam, you will go to the Veda Purva Bhaga to do rituals so that you can accumulate Punyam, or for Prayachitta Karma, you will go to Veda Purva Bhaga so that, you know, you can go to Swargaloka, etc. But that is not the purpose or the superior purpose of human journey. The human journey should be towards the higher goal, which is addressed in the Vedanta Bhaga or Upanishads. Now, after this, we saw the Varna Vyavastha, right? We talked about the humanity being divided into four groups, Brahmana Varna, Vaishya Varna, Kshatriya Varna and Shudra Varna. And we also talked about, you know, what the Guna Brahmana, Guna Kshatriya, Guna Vaishya, and we said, more than by profession or by jati being identified as Brahmana, Vaishya, Kshatriya, etc., we should be identified as Guna Brahmana, which is because of the Sattva Pradhana personality, because Sattva Pradhana personality becomes very, very important for us to go towards the Shreyaha or Moksha Purushartha, because we need Sattva Gunam to be able to understand the scriptures and assimilate the teaching. So, the takeaway from the Varna Vyavastha is that we must all strive to be Guna Brahmanas if we want to go on a spiritual path. That's all. Right? So, we talked about the gradations also, and we said Guna Brahmana is really superior. In terms of karma and jati, there is no gradation whatsoever. Then we studied about the ashramas. The point to note here is, we also talked about karma yoga, upasana yoga, jnana yoga, etc. Now, here in Brahmacharya ashrama, the stage of a student life, if you recall, we are actually using, in the olden days, the Brahmacharis were using this period to learn the Vedas, because there was no script. You could not read the Vedas from a notebook or a book. We needed to get them by heart. So, the entire Brahmacharya Ashrama period was used to get by heart the Vedas, both Veda Purva Bhaga and Veda Anta Bhaga. And in Grihastha Ashrama, they actually had a way of implementing whatever they have learned, and it was Karma Yoga Pradhana life in Grihastha Ashrama. So when they got married, that Agni was actually, that is when it was started. And then right through their life, they were doing Agni Hotram every day, etc. And they were also following whatever was prescribed as part of Karma Yoga. And Karma Yoga Pradhana life was Grihastha Ashrama. And Vanaprastha Ashrama was the stage of a hermit's life or Upasana Yoga Pradhana. And the Sannyasa Ashrama was the stage or a monk's life of renunciation or Jnana Yoga Pradhana. Today, the strict lines between these are not possible and cannot be done also. So, what we now do is we start our Grihastha Ashrama life with Karma Yoga Pradhana, Karma Yoga focus. And in the side, we also get to understand the scriptures and Upasana Yoga. We try and practice a little by little. And the ratio start changing so that when we get time, after we have completed our duties, we can focus more on Jnana Yoga, right? The Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. So, the four ashramas, now the exact demarcation has gone away. But the concepts and, you know, what needs to be done in each of the ashramas, we try and implement through following the different yogas. Now, we also looked at what the three different yogas were, Karma Yoga, Upasana Yoga and Jnana Yoga. We saw them in detail, so I'm not going to repeat all of them, except that Karma Yoga is, all the yogas are important and Karma Yoga is absolutely important for Chitta Shuddhi along with Upasana Yoga. Right? We use the word Chitta Shuddhi or mental refinement. I did see a question from somebody. Antakkarana Shuddhi is the same as Chitta Shuddhi, so there's no difference, right? So we need to have follow a Karma Yoga and Upasana Yoga way of life so that we will have Chitta Shuddhi. And when we have Chitta Shuddhi, our mind, with the mental refinement, we will be able to focus on Jnana Yoga. We will be able to assimilate the teachings of the Jnana Yoga, that is Shravanam, Mananam, and also focus on meditation and Vedantic meditation so that we can assimilate the real nature of the self, right? So, all three yogas are compulsory. They are not alternatives. And we saw Karma Yoga is proper action with proper attitude. And we also said that actions are based only on spiritual influence, based on spiritual influence. And Uttama Karmani is Sattvika Karma, where we do not negotiate with God saying that if I do this, give me wealth, like in Avahanti Homa or Putra Kameshti Homa or any of these. We just do our daily puja with the sankalpam itself, loka samasta sukino bhavantu, or very important to make sure that we don't ask anything for me, myself, my family. As I said, pancha anatma, body, mind, family, possessions and profession. So, we talk about loka kshemartam here and we sincerely make that sankalpam, because here we are not doing anything for the sake of the external world. It is our motive and what we are, it's an inner journey. Whatever we are praying to God, nobody is going to watch you, right? So, Uttama Karmani or Sattvika Karmani is totally based on what kind of puja you do, what kind of sankalpa, what kind of expectation you have out of the result. Right? Madhyama Karmani is something that you do for your own family, business, etc. Adama Karmani is of course something that will bring about spiritual downfall because you are doing something for, you know, to bring down people. Now, Karmani here means puja as well as others. You must remember that Karma Yoga covers Pancha Maha Yajnaha. So, when I say Uttama Karmani, it can be doing puja, it can be doing service, it can be doing taking care of the environment, any of them, right? But the motive is what is going to determine whether it is Uttama Karmani, Madhyama Karmani or Adhama Karmani, right? Now, we saw in detail about Pancha Maha Yajnaha. So, as I said, Karma Yoga will lead to Chitta Shuddhi and Chitta Shuddhi will give us Sadhana Chatushtayam, right? Vivekaha, Vairagyam, etc., which we saw. So, that is the link between Karma Yoga leading to Chitta Shuddhi, leading to Sadhana Chatushtayam. And the fourth aspect of Sadhana Chatushtayam is Mumukshutvam, which is desire for moksha, so that we will be pushed on the path. We will feel more and more inclined to study the Vedanta Bhaga or the Upanishads. So, Pancha Mahayajnas we saw in the form of Deva Yajnaha, Pitru Yajnaha, Brahma Yajnaha, Manushya Yajnaha and Bhuta Yajnaha. Right? So, first one is of course Puja etc. Pitru Yajnaha is for ancestors. Brahma Yajnaha is for Rishis, the Vedas etc. Manushya Yajnaha is for our fellow human beings. And Bhuta Yajnaha is plants, animals, generally environment. Right? All these come under Karmani. Now, these are all Pancha Mahayajnaha. You can apply the same Karma Yoga principles to also your non-religious kind of day-to-day work life also by not indulging in Adama Karmani. Now, the Bhavana or attitude, as I said, is important. Ishwararpana Bhava, that is, when we are doing the Karma, every action becomes an offering to the Lord. That is Ishwararpana Bhavaha. And result or phalam, which comes from Ishwara is Ishwara Prasadaha. And we always treat Prasada as sacred. And because of this Bhavana, that is Ishwararpana Bhavana and Ishwara Prasada Bhavana, we get Samatvam or equanimity in life. Now, with Samatvam, obviously it leads to a very, very fast spiritual growth. And that is actually Chitta Shuddhi. So, Chitta Shuddhi is mental refinement, also called Antakkarana Shuddhi, right? Because of this Samatvam, we don't react to extremes. We are, neither so happy with, the best things that are happening, nor do we get completely deflated or dejected when there is a problem, right? If we receive criticisms also, we learn to accept it. And if we receive praises also, we are able to accept it. So, this happens because we are enjoying the journey itself as Ishwara, Ishwararpana with Ishwararpana Bhava. And the result, therefore, we take it as Prasada. And this will lead to spiritual growth, as I said, or Chitta Shuddhi. Now, this is Bhavana or attitude. Now, basically, what is Chitta Shuddhi, right? Chitta Shuddhi is... It makes us understand how to handle the world. We are able to handle the world and we know that there is nothing wrong with the external world except that we are expecting something wrong from the world, right? The external world, as Swamiji says, use it for, it has novelty, variety, beauty, etc. But do not use it for peace, security and happiness. You rely on your inner self for peace, security and happiness that comes out of following true Karma Yoga, Upasana Yoga and Jnana Yoga. But do not rely on external world for this, right? For peace, security and happiness. So, this is actually Chitta Shuddhi, right? That basically, the result of Karma Yoga which makes you clear, makes you discern what is permanent, what is impermanent and where is the problem and how to get out of the problem and resulting in basically FIR reduction and triple C increase. FIR is frequency, intensity, recovery period after an emotional disturbance. You will see that coming down. And triple C is calmness, cheerfulness and confidence going up, right? Over the years, you will start seeing improvement in both these two aspects, which is a direct indication that Karma Yoga, Upasana Yoga and Jnana Yoga are beginning to work for oneself. And this is something that nobody else needs to measure. You can yourself measure your own progress in this spiritual journey. So, Upasana Yoga we saw and we talked about Kayika, Vachika and Manasa. The Kayika Karmani, Vachika Karmani and Manasa Karmani, right? So, why we talked about Kayika and Vachika here, though Upasana deals with meditation is, we talked about this concept called Arjavam, where what you say, what you do, right, and what you think in the mind, they must all be integrated together. For instance, whenever you are lying, right, your mind is saying you should not lie and you are lying, there will be a conflict. So, we must try and avoid lies. So, whatever we do, all the three layers must be together and it has to, be focused on the values that we need to develop. Daivi Sampath, which we will see in Gita. Actually, Gita deals with Daivi Sampath in detail, right? And we also talked about the four different types of meditation. And we said that these four types of meditation, basically relaxation, concentration, expansion, and value, will help you go through Vedantic meditation. In Vedantic meditation, basically it is Nididhyasanam. We are trying to assimilate the teachings of the Vedanta Bhaga, right? And the teachings related to Atma and claiming Atma as myself. That aspect is Vedantic meditation. And in order to make sure that we are able to assimilate the teaching easily, we have to practice relaxation, one of the kind. Basically, relaxation meditation will be the first that you will, you know, start out. And if you have to work on one of your, you know, anger or fear or any one of these kinds of negative aspects, then you will use value meditation. You will use the positive value to meditate and remove your habitual, thinking. And then you will be able to assimilate the Vedantic teaching. That's what the Upasana Yoga covers, right? And then we also looked at Jnana Yoga, the three aspects, the Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. Shravanam is consistent and systematic study for a length of time, and Mananam is a process where after you have completed the study, mostly all the questions and doubts get clarified by the time you complete Shravanam, because the entire Upanishad, the way the teaching happens is in Guru Shishya Sanvada format. That means the teachings are a dialogue between the teacher and the student. And then when it comes to Mananam, you will hardly have any doubts to get clarified, but you are still allowed, permitted to ask the guru the doubts and get it clarified during Mananam. Not only that, you might have picked up one aspect in a particular Upanishad and another aspect in another Upanishad. Putting all this together and reflecting on them is Mananam. And Nididhyasanam is, of course, assimilation of the teaching. And I did give you this example of, you know, the drama in which, you know, the Babas played the role of Dasharatha and Vishwamitra, and how out of habit they, you know, spoke like a barber instead of speaking the dialogue. Now, this is because of the habitual way in which we operate that we are not able to fully get the benefit of the teaching. Therefore, for us to have the full benefit of the teaching, we need to do Nididhyasanam. Jnanam comes through Shravanam. We have understood what Atma is. Atma is you, etc. All that is done through Shravanam. Nididhyasanam is for us to get out of this habitual thinking and claim the higher I as self. Right? And we also said that, yeah, the important point here on Jnana Yoga is the Jagat Adhishtanam Ishwara, right, which we saw. That is, you know, Ishwara is appearing as the Jagat. That is revealed through the Mahavakyam. And the Mahavakyam you get to know through Shravanam. So, that is the connect between Shravanam and Mahavakyam. So, only when you are doing the Shravanam, you understand what the Mahavakyam is and what the connect is. Right? Now, we also saw that Bhakti Yoga is not actually a separate yoga, but is a yoga which is soaked in and through all the other three yogas, right? Karma Yoga must have Bhakti, Upasana Yoga must have Bhakti, Jnana Yoga also must have Bhakti in it. So, in Advaita Vedanta, Bhakti Yoga is in and through all of them, all the three, Karma Yoga, Upasana Yoga and Jnana Yoga. We don't say that, you know, there is no God or there is no necessity to have Bhakti. In all of these, we have Bhakti completely in and through Karma Yoga, Upasana Yoga and Jnana Yoga, right? So, we saw this about Bhakti Yoga. Then, we discussed about who is God, right? The concept we saw was Jagat Karta Ishwara, right? Jagat Karanam Ishwara and Jagat Adhishtanam Ishwara. Why Jagat Karta Ishwara? First, we accept that it is very easy for us to accept that any well-designed product must have an intelligent being behind it to design it. So, we said, okay, an intelligent creator is there behind the world. So that is Jagat Karta Ishvara. So for a beginner, it is very easy to comprehend, a fairly religious person, to comprehend that Jagat Karta is Ishvara. Then what happens? So as Jagat Karta Ishvara, we also tend to start saying, okay, Lord as a creator, as a personal God, has special form. Rama, Krishna, Vishnu, etc. And we start associating ourselves with Eka Rupa Ishvara, right? So that is Jagat Karta Ishvara. Now when we shift and we become more mature in terms of the journey itself, we say God is the creator of the world, but the raw material is also the God. God alone was there and nothing else. So we say God himself happens to be the very material also out of which the world is made. And I gave you the example of the spider in Mundaka Upanishad in 117. There is a verse which says, Yator nanabihi srijate grinnate cha. So there we talk about how Jagat, that is Ishvara, has actually created the world out of himself. He is not only the, I didn't want to use the word upadana karanam, also along with nimitta karanam, the intelligent cause as well as the material cause. That is what is said in Mundaka Upanishad, and the spider example was given there, right? And here obviously we say that we have Aneka Rupa Ishvara or Vishwa Rupa Ishvara. So when we say Jagat Karanam Ishvara, we have already gone to the extent of saying there's no personal God, but everything is God. Everything around you is God. Aneka Rupa Ishvara, right? Then now after that, when we go further on our journey, we say, till now we have been saying God is creator and God provides the raw material, right? God gives the raw material. Then after that we say Jagat Adhishtanam Ishvara, right? So God is the substratum of all forms of the entire creation which he transcends. There is nothing other than God. God is the ultimate reality, right? He is Arupa Ishvara, right? There is nothing other than God. So that is the final state. So you don't attribute it to anything, right? No Eka Ishvara, no Aneka Rupa Ishvara. It is Arupa Ishvara or Jagat Adhishtana Ishvara. This is the final stage of understanding, right? So God creates the world, to God becomes the world, to God appears as the world, right? So God creates the world, God becomes the world, and God appears as the world is the final stage of understanding, right? So we saw what Jagat Adhishtanam, we saw everything in detail, but I'm just repeating only the Adhishtanam Ishvara, because we in the spiritual journey we need to get to Arupa Ishvara, right? And I talked about this verse from Kathopanishad, Ashabdam Asparsham Arupam Avyayam Tatarasam Nityam Agandavachayat. So this is basically saying that Ishvara is Arupam, Brahman is Arupam, right? So that is what we saw in the three aspects of God. Then we also saw this table, which I spent some time, I remember explaining this, because for a spiritual seeker, it is very important for us to slowly move bhavana-wise from manda to madhyama to uttama. That means no sakama worship finally, right? Your sankalpa has to be only for loka kshemartham. It is okay to start with, you know, focus on pujas for our own family, our own well-being, etc. But ultimately, you have to transcend this and get to the uttama bhavana, right? And more importantly, when you are practicing rituals for the sake of getting something, this is very important and Swamiji keeps talking about it, you have to follow the ritual strictly, right? They talk about acharam, what should be done, what should not be done, from which side of the, on the plantain leaf, what should be kept, how should the offering be made, left hand, right hand, turn left, turn right, etc. All of these have to be followed if it is sakama bhakti. Because I am sakama puja. The reason is we are negotiating with the God for finite results. And the scriptures say you do all of this in this methodology, then you will get this. That also, there is no guarantee because you may make some mistake in between, right? So when you indulge in Sakama Puja, number one, we are not sure whether the results will be as we are doing, because there may be some things that we are missing. And second is, sometimes you can even get negative result because you messed up something in the process. So it is very important that when we follow rituals for Sakama Puja, all the associated strict rituals, rules, regulations have to be followed, right? Whereas when we are doing Nishkama Puja, we do to the best of our ability, and after that we just use the Ishwara Arpana Bhava and say everything is for you and this is for the world's, you know, goodness. It is for Lokakshaya Shemartham. Therefore, I leave it to you, and the Sankalpam itself is different, right? Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu. And we will not have any of the issues that we have with Sakama Puja. So it is very, very important to note this. And Chitta Shuddhi will come from Nishkama Puja. So slowly we go on a path of Karma Yoga with Sakama, because rather than doing nothing, Sakama Puja is definitely better. But will Sakama Puja take you on the spiritual path? No, you have to get to Nishkama Puja and move towards your spiritual journey, right? And you have to develop Chitta Shuddhi. So the bhavana is important. The sadhana is also important, and the devata, obviously, after some time, you have to transcend all forms. And rather than saying that I will only visit this temple or that temple, we should be able to invoke God in ourselves and actually complete the puja, rather than get too bogged down by this murti, that murti, etc. That is the journey, basically. That is why the last three rows are in, last three cells are in green. Uttama, Jnana Yoga Rupa and Arupa, Arupa Devata, right? So this is very important. So if you actually go to the slides which I presented, I had given a path of how to actually move towards this, right? And the red ones indicate that we must stop these at this stage when we are, you know, serious spiritual seekers, right? After this, we saw the preparatory disciplines, right? Sadhana Chatushtayam, Viveka, Viragaha, Mumukshutvam and Shamadhi Shatka Sampattihi. We said these four are prerequisites for a spiritual journey, but it is not that we cannot start our spiritual journey without any of these. Then in which case, I don't know, maybe we will spend our entire life just developing this, right? So, of course, Shamadhi Shatka Sampatti is very, very important. Shama, Dama, Uparamaha, etc. We saw this in detail. These are the prerequisites for us to proceed on the spiritual journey, and these are achieved through Karma Yoga and Upasana Yoga. Shamadhi Shatka Sampatti mainly coming from Upasana Yoga. Then we went to Sharira Trayam, right? We saw how the body itself is divided, right? Because we had to understand the definition of Atma. In order to understand the definition of Atma, we needed to see what Sharira Trayam was. I'm not going to get into the details of Sharira Trayam again, because I think we did a lot of, it was more like biology class, and we did go through Stula Pancha Bhutani, right? We went through this Sukshma Bhutani as well as Karana Bhutani, and how these contributed to Stula Shariram, Sukshma Shariram and Karana Shariram. How did it, how are the different bodies formed? What is Stula Shariram? Stula Shariram is the physical body. We also saw what is Sukshma Shariram or the subtle body, right? And Karana Shariram is the one which is the causal body. The important point to note here is, at the time of death, actually it is the Stula Shariram which perishes, and Sukshma Shariram as well as Karana Shariram travel. So we saw that, and we also saw that at the time of Pralayam, everything resolves into the Karana Shariram, right? So it's important for us to know what Sharira Trayam is, because Atma is not the Sharira Trayam. We saw that in the definition later, right? So after Sharira Trayam, we also, the important point on this slide is the one that's marked in green, okay? Because people had this confusion as to what is the connection between Pancha Sukshma Bhutani. If you see here, Sukshma Shariram is made out of Pancha Sukshma Bhutani. In creation also, we talked about Pancha Sukshma Bhutani. So what you need to connect here is, these are at the individual level, the Pancha Sukshma Bhutani resulting in Sukshma Shariram. And at the total level, you have the total Pancha Sukshma Bhutani. Now, the important aspect here is, I don't know whether you remember, we talked about how the Sattva aspect creates the Jnana Indriyani, the Rajas aspect creates Karma Indriyani, etc. Now, the important point is, each of these has a Devata. Now, when I say Chakshu, right, I, Surya Devata is a Devata. Now, what the connection means is, the total I power in the world is blessed by the sun, the Surya Devata. A small amsham of that blesses the Sukshma Shariram's, that I part in the individual, right? So, this is Samashti and Vyashti. Vyashti, that is at the body level, small amsha of Surya, which is blessing the Jnanendriyam corresponding to the eye. The total power of all the eyesight in the world rests with Surya Devata, which is at the macro level. That is the important connection that you need to make. So, when I say Vyashti and Samashti, all of the individual powers, not the body, not the physical eye, right? The powers, it's better to refer as Indriyani. The total aspect of the Indriyani is what we spoke about in creation under the Pancha Sukshma Bhutani, right? I wanted to make sure that, you know, we connected this, right? It's important. So, note the connection with Sukshma Bhautika Sharira Srishti. Go to the creation slide, you will be able to see this, right? Now, after this, we also saw the three states, right? Now, in the three states, this is the Avastatrayam. We saw Jagrat Avastha, which is our waking state. We saw Swapna Avastha, which is the dream state. And Sushupti Avastha is the deep sleep state. You might remember I actually spoke about, you know, using Fitbit and seeing for yourself how much time you spend in Sushupti Avastha, etc., in your typical sleep, right? So, Sushupti Avastha is a very small percentage of your entire, you know, day. And Swapna Avastha is a little, lesser as compared to the Jagrat Avastha is maximum. Then you have Swapna Avastha and Sushupti is still more smaller, right? And I talked about how in the deep sleep state, in the deep sleep state, we talked about how everything is resolved, right? There is very little of the mind functioning just to make sure that when you wake up, you know that, oh, I was asleep, right? So, we are, and I also said that you feel bliss, right? The ignorance is nothing but bliss there. And that connection we need to make with Karana Shariram and Anandamaya Kosha. So, the deep sleep state, Sushupti Avastha, is connected with Anandamaya Kosha and Karana Shariram. The important point to note is, while we see Sharira Trayam, Avastha Trayam and Kosha Panchakam, they are all connected. They are just different facets of the body itself, right? So, Sushupti can be connected with Anandamaya Kosha and Karana Shariram, right? Now, we also saw Pancha Kosha and we saw the connection between the Sharira Trayam and this right then. Annamaya Kosha is Tula Shariram. Pranamaya, Manomaya and Vijnanamaya are the subtle bodies. And Anandamaya Kosha is the Karana Shariram or causal body. We saw all of these in detail. And then we saw the definition of Atma also. We saw it at that time. And then we said, since Shariratrayam is Jadam, right? And it does not have consciousness and it cannot produce consciousness. This is what Vedanta believes, right? Science has not been able to explain this, right? How consciousness is produced. Therefore, since Shariratrayam is inert and still you find that the body is inert, right? And finally, we are able to see that the human body is sentient. There must be a fourth factor, which is the lender of consciousness. We saw this in detail and we said that is Atma. Atma makes the Shariratrayam alive with consciousness. And we said it is very similar to the electricity principle, right? And we talked about in detail about all the features, etc., right? We'll quickly try and see that. So, Atma makes Shariratrayam sentient with consciousness, right? Then we saw the definition of Atma. Stula Sukshma Karna Sharirat Vyatiriktaha. That is different from Stula Sukshma Karna Shariram. Panchakosha Titaha San. Transcending beyond the Panchakoshas. Avastatraya Sakshi. Serving as a witness to the three states. That's the only witness which is common to say waking state, dream state and deep sleep state. Satchidananda Swarupaha. San yat tishtati sa atma. What remains, right, outside of these, of the nature of sat, chit and ananda, right, is nothing but the atma. So this was the definition of atma that we saw. And we saw the five features of consciousness, right, very important. Consciousness is not a part, product or property of the body, right. It is an invisible and independent entity which pervades the body and makes it alive. And this invisible independent consciousness is not limited by the boundaries of the body. And this invisible consciousness will continue to survive even after the body medium dies, perishes or is destroyed. And after death, the surviving consciousness is not available for transaction, not because it is not present, but because the medium of transaction is absent. And very important is we should reorient ourselves to claim Atma, the consciousness, as myself, because the word Atma itself means self, right? And as Swamiji says, we are a spiritual being, right, having a human experience, not a human being having a spiritual experience, right? Very, very deep. Right? So, we should reorient ourselves to claim Atma, the consciousness, as myself. So, we saw the different, you know, aspects. We said Chaitanya Swarupam. We also said, yeah, the important point is when we introduce Atma, we say Atma is of the nature of consciousness, right? After we progress for a few years, or it depends on each person's journey, we claim Atma is consciousness, right? Chaitanya Swarupam, right? It's not of the nature, but actually it is consciousness. Atma is Chaitanyam, right? And then it is also eternal, stands in all three periods of time, the past, the present and the future. And it is limitless happiness or bliss. And as I said, it's not limited by the boundaries of the body. It is Purnaha, right? Sat, Chit and Ananda, right? And then we also discussed the important methodology to discern Atma as spoken about in the Upanishads. The Upanishad says it is very difficult to discern Atma, right? We are not saying it is easy. So it has given a method. So it says, let us start with whatever we claim as mind, mama, aham and mama, right? Mama, whatever belongs to me, mine, right? So whatever belongs to me is not myself, but different from myself. So slowly you tell all the external world is not myself, etc. Then you come slowly towards go internal, body, mind, etc. and claim that these are all not me, but Atma, the consciousness, is I, right? So this is called Neti Neti method, and our entire spiritual journey is this, right? So that is why we have so many Upanishads, so many different kinds of prakriyas. I explained that, right? And I also talked about these two Vedanta theorems, right? As I refer to, I am different from whatever I experience, and I, the experiencer, am free from attributes of the experienced objects. This becomes more relevant when it's very easy for us to say I'm experiencer and I'm free from the attributes of an experienced pen, pencil, etc. But when you get internal, right, when you go internal to yourself, to say that I, the experiencer, I'm free from the attributes of the experienced mind, right, I am different from the mind that is unhappy, etc., it becomes little difficult. It takes time for us to assimilate this teaching, right? And that's what I said, it happens through Jnana Yoga. Nididhyasanam is the way to go. That's the only way that we can assimilate this teaching. Then we discussed about Brahman and Maya, because all that we did so far was at the Vyashti level or the individual level. So we discussed about Brahman and Maya, and we said Atma and Brahman are the same, just two different names depending on whether we are talking at the universal level or at the individual level, right? So we talked about what is Brahman and what is the concept of Maya. Basically, Maya is the opposite attributes of Brahman in terms of being Jadam, right? Material principle, subject to change, having attributes, etc., right? So we talked about Maya and Brahman, and then we also talked about how the world manifests out of Brahman and Maya, and both are anadi. We learnt about it, and then we learnt about how the manifestation happens. First, Sukshma Prapancha from Karana Prapancha, we saw this, and then we saw Stula Prapancha from Sukshma Prapancha. So in Sukshma Prapancha, now you will be able to connect that the individual Sukshma Shariram is what contributes to the total Sukshma Prapancham, right? And then we saw Karana Prapancham, right? And then we also talked about the universal going from unmanifest to manifest and from manifest to unmanifest in between Pralayam, right? That was an important concept that we saw. And the avastha or condition is the one that changes, and universe always exists, except that it may be in potential form at the time of Pralayam and it may manifest afterwards, right? We saw this important slide on Jiva Ishwara Aikyam, right? And we saw that we have the left hand side indicating the Jiva and the right hand side indicating Ishwara. And essentially, when you see, all of these are reflected consciousness, whereas the original consciousness is the same behind, whether it is Jiva or it is Paramatma. It is the same Brahman or Atma, which is the consciousness behind all of these various prapanchas as well as Shariram. So, depending on the quality of the medium, right, whether it is Karana Shariram or Karana Prapancha, Sukshma Shariram or Sukshma Prapancha, the reflected consciousness quality also changes, right? So, while Jiva has inferior attributes, Paramatma, right, has superior attributes. We saw this under Jiva Ishwara Aikyam, right? Very important point we saw here. And then after this, we saw the essence of Vedanta, which is Tat Tvam Asi. Basically, the Aikya Vakyam that we just now spoke about is referred to as Mahavakyam, and this is the main teaching of each of the Upanishads. We did see a lot of Mahavakyam, some references from the different Vedas during our session on this, right? And then finally, we came to the types of karma, Sanchita Karma, Prarabdha Karma and Agami Karma. I do see a lot of questions related to this, so we will take up those questions and respond to those as we go through the karma, right? So Sanchita Karma means all the accumulated karma over the past janmas, and Prarabdha Karma is that part of the Sanchita Karma that has actually fructified and is ready for this janma, right, to be exhausted during this janma. Agami karma is the fresh accumulation that you do as part of this janma when you are living. The astrology aspect or the horoscope indicates the position of the prarabdha karma in the horoscope, right, just to make sure that people understand the connection. And the prayachita karma that we do generally is to try and neutralize any of these, but we should understand that it is only to a limited extent, and depending on the strength of the prarabdha karma only, we will be able to influence, right? Then we spoke about Jivan Mukti, Videha Mukti. I think on that day I didn't mention Krama Mukti, so I wanted to just touch upon that. Jivan Mukti is being liberated while living. How does that happen? Without having the Kartrutvam or Bhotrutvam, that is, the doership or experiencing ship feeling, you are able to enjoy a liberated kind of status, because you are living in this world without expectation, with just Ishwara Prasada Bhava, And therefore, while you are showering love to people and doing things for people, you don't have any expectation out of them. You have reasonable, like for instance, the example that I gave is that you rely on yourself for peace, security and happiness, but enjoy at the same time the novelty, beauty and variety of the world, right? So that is Jeevan Muktihi. Videha Muktihi is, I talked about it in the case of Jnanis, what happens at the time of death, the Sanchita karma is burnt, there is no fresh Agami karma and the Prarabdha karma is exhausted during the lifetime. And therefore, there is no further janma for a jnani. That is Videha Mukti. Krama Mukti is, if you have been a upasaka and a great mumukshu, that means you had desire for moksha, but you could not achieve Videha Mukti because you are still not, you know, a full Jeevan Mukta. And at the time of death, you think about God and you are a mumukshu. Then what happens is, after death, you reach Brahma Loka, and in Brahma Loka, you continue your studies further and achieve your mukti there. That is Krama Mukti, which is talked about in the chapter 8 of Gita as well as in Brahma Sutra, right? And that is what we spoke about. And I also spoke about, I think I mentioned what happens in the case of death of an Ajnani. In the case of an Ajnani, once the Prarabdha Karma is exhausted, death will happen, and then after that the jiva will take another body depending on the fructifying prarabdha and move on to the next janma, right? That is in the case of Ajnani, right? I also spoke about the five capsules of Vedanta. I am not going to read it now, as summarized by Swami Paramarthananda, which is very useful for us to, you know, every day if you want to revel in this for a few minutes, this summary will help you revel in this, right? So, therefore, I thought I will just leave this slide as the concluding slide and we will, you know, take the questions now. And before taking the questions, I just wanted to quickly cover the way forward and then we can, you know, take up the questions. Now, how do I pursue Vedantic studies further? This is a standard question that many people have written to me. Now, one thing is, if you are in India or if you are in Chennai and want to attend Swamiji's classes, you can attend Swami Paramarthananda's classes directly here. The second thing is, the site address that I've given there, which is vedantavidyarthisangha.org, you have a catalog which will list the complete list of the classes that are available, right? You have this full list and I think I put this up also. In the first class itself, you can see this is the order that we go through and it's a minimum set of studies for a serious seeker, at least from Tattva Bodha up to Mandukya Upanishad and Karika. And if you want to do Brahma Sutra Bhashyam thereafter, you have to do Chandogya Upanishad and Brihadaranyaka Upanishad because Brahma Sutra relies so much on Chandogya Upanishad and Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. There's a lot of cross-reference. And this can be attempted by anybody who even doesn't know Sanskritam, but it is always better to pick up a little bit of Sanskritam in order to be able to read the script itself, the Devanagari script, and understand the little bit of Sanskrit, right? So that is very important for us to know that in the process, if we start picking up the language, it will be very, very useful. And you can also spend a little time on picking up the language. Now, if somebody is very, very advanced in Sanskritam, because, you know, this is Sanskrit from home.in and there are very many people who are experts in Sanskrit, then they can proceed to Shankara Bhashyam. Those CDs are also available through Swamiji's site and you actually have to call Shastra Prakashika and they can ship it to you within India. So that's not a problem. So you can get Shankara Bhashyam of any of these Mundaka Kena Kata and you can continue on this journey. But the kind of time commitment that you will need to put in is somewhere like this. It's about just Bhagavad Gita will be 243 hours and up to Mandukya Upanishad and Karika is about 240 hours, right? and Brihadaranyaka and Chandogya is about 236 hours. So if you sort of plan 1 hour a day and systematically and methodically approach this whole thing, you should be able to cover this in a reasonable period of time. So I just wanted to, you know, make sure that I gave you an idea of how to go about this. And also, suppose none of these are workable for you, I happen to be taking some classes for people at home, and I just leave the recordings on a site so that if people miss the classes, they can listen to the audio recording. That site is actually vedantasatsanga.org. So if you're interested, you can listen to that. I just put up my audio recordings there, and I've completed chapter 1 and 2 of Gita there, right? Now, I'm just going to ask Soumya to speak up on the other two. That is, I do not know Sanskrit, where do I begin? And I studied Sanskrit in school, where do I begin? She will complete that, and then I'll take the rest of the questions that I have planned for today. Soumya, over to you.
Okay. Namaste, everybody. I thank you all on behalf of Yoma Samskrita Pathashala for attending this Introduction to Vedanta course with great commitment. So as Rama Madam has rightly said, Sanskrit being the language of all our Shastras, so is it becomes more and more, you know, indispensable as you get more into the Shastras, especially Vedanta. So we have several options for those who would like to proceed with Sanskrit. I'll quickly show you a few options, and then you can always browse through the catalog of courses, and you can always write to us if you need any guidance. So for those who do not know any Sanskrit at all, so absolutely nothing, I want to start. So we have a free course called the Getting Started with Sanskrit, which actually starts with the script, the Devanagari script. There are interactive exercises and videos which show you how to write and read the script. So this is for those who are absolute beginners. There is also a spoken Sanskrit course, which is around just 10 sessions, which is done in the methodology of Samskrita Bharati, which is a very widely accepted methodology for getting a hang of the language very quickly. So within 10 days, that is those sessions, you will be able to appreciate the general sentence construction and be able to understand and talk much more than you would have thought would be possible. Okay. And as she said, you have learnt Sanskrit earlier, say sometimes in school, and where do I start? So we have a few courses there also. One of the important ones may be to start with the Vibhakti, the sentence construction in Sanskrit. So there is a Vibhakti course around 25 hours, which deals with the basic sentence construction. Okay. So these are the three courses which we would suggest for beginners. So if you know a bit more, you can always browse through the courses to find more which will suit you. As are these things, you can browse through your level. So there is say basic, intermediate, etc. You can also browse by the subject. So if you are interested in Vedanta, there are quite a few more things in Vedanta which are available. Our YouTube playlist also has several lectures on Power of Sanskrit, which tells about what are the various benefits of learning Sanskrit and so on. So please feel free to browse. And for any doubts or questions, you can always write to us at sanskritfromhome@biomalabs.in. So thank you. I think I'll give it back to Rama Madam with this.
Okay. So let me first try and cover the questions that, you know, people have sent me, which are very, very relevant and important, and which I have not covered. And after that, you know, you can put up your hands and we can open the lines and you can actually speak up after that, right? Okay. Now, somebody has written from, I have a doubt regarding rebirth. According to our belief, Jivatma may need to take Narajanma only in his next birth. Based on Satkarma only, we get next birth. So that rebirth need not be in a human form. Suppose the Jivatma, which is in this Sharira, may not get a human body, right? And if the Jivatma takes the birth of a worm or dog, how it can do any Satkarmas to get Uttama Yoni, right? Now, basically, can you get a, if you are an animal, what happens? And secondly, based on our karmas, we get a Uttama or Adama Yoni, then to what extent parents, ancestors, genes will play a role? Okay, first and foremost, let me answer this in two parts. First part is, you can have animal janmas. During animal janmas, as I clearly said, there will be no agami karma. Okay, you are only exhausting your prarabdha karma, right? Very, very important. And your next janma is a result of the fructifying prarabdha, right? And any leftover agami will join the sanchita, right? So in the case of animal, there is no leftover agami. And there is a portion that fructifies as prarabdha for the next janma. Now, depending on the prarabdha which is fructifying, you could get a human janma again, or you could even get a worm janma or some other janma. So it depends on the prarabdha that is fructifying, right? Very important. Now, current set of parents have no role to play in our next janma. Very, very important, right? Directly, like this. Unless, you know, they have instigated you to do something and that agami karma has, you know, resulted in the prarabdha karma. Otherwise, directly, no. Our parents cannot play any role in the next janma, right? Similarly, in the case of, you know, the couple getting bad-mannered children, right, and vice versa, it all depends. Now, you have a prarabdha karma, now you also have these planets and dashas, right? So, sometimes that prarabdha karma is very favorable first 20 years or, you know, somewhere in the middle. So, when the unfavorable period comes or the unfavorable prarabdha comes, you will have bad-mannered children. Because this is not result, the bad-mannered children need not necessarily be a result of your current agami karma. It can be a result of the prarabdha karma. Very, very important, right? I hope this has answered the question. The person who asked this question, in case you have a follow-up, you can always raise your hand in the panel, right? How and when did the scriptures get misinterpreted to consider women as second-class citizens, right? When did the practice of all these widows and, you know, Mangal Sutra and all of this? Now, it is very important, right? Manusmriti has a lot of rules related to this, not Vedanta. Very important to note, right? It is Manusmriti. That's why I spent some time again on the scriptures and the hierarchy. It comes under Smriti, right? And many of these things are Smriti only. Now, what seems normal to a particular generation will be obnoxious to the generations later. This is what I'm seeing even in the current generation. For instance, today there are youngsters who feel that we should not even talk about wearing a bindi or wearing the Mangal Sutra, right? The reverse. So that has also seemed obnoxious. They feel that it's like a, there are some youngsters who have told me that it appears like it's a collar, dog's collar, right? So, what is imposing in a particular set of generation need not be imposing later. But all that I have to say here is, these are all coming from the Smriti, like Manu Smriti or, you know, somewhere in Itihasa, Purana, some references there, that's all. It is not part of the Veda Antabhaga. If you see Veda Antabhaga in Brihadaranyakopanishad, you see Maitreyi speaking as an equal, right? In several parts, you can see that, right? So, I don't see this in the Vedanta part, right? And also, it is very important for the spiritual gurus who are there in every generation to interpret the Vedic rituals in a changing society. That is very, very important. And I think the spiritual gurus are responsible for that kind of interpretation, right? How can the law of karma explain many people dying in accident at the same time? This is just programming, if you understand programming. So, multiple people's prarabdha all coming together at that particular time, causing an accident, that's all, right? And law of karma requires that we have to take many births to wipe off its effect. But it is also stated in scriptures, by true bhakti and sharanagati, we can achieve God's grace to wipe off the sins of all our past lives and present lives, and we can achieve mukti, right? Now, this is again not what is said in Advaita Vedanta, right? In Advaita Vedanta, Sharanagati, all of this is correct, but with God's grace, you can become a mumukshu and you can gain, you know, you can go on the path of Jnana Yoga, right? And then gain knowledge and attain moksha. Or in this Janma, you have been only an upasaka and you can attain Krama Mukti, go to Brahma Loka and gain knowledge. But without knowledge, without Jnana Yoga, it is not possible to have moksha. That is the Advaita Vedanta part, right? And the same thing applies to, there is a Tamil saying that Vidhi can be won by Mati. Same thing. It doesn't apply at all. The law of karma, Sanchita karma, can be burnt only through moksha, and moksha only through Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, other than Chitta Shuddhi through Karma Yoga and Upasana Yoga. The next question was on Vedanta holds that Turiya is the witness of the three states, right? Very apt, correct. And it is the Atma and it dies not or doesn't destroy even if the body dies, right? Now, in the modern research in artificial intelligence, the technologies are finally able to create machine consciousness through creation of electronic neural network. Now, is the human consciousness, the Turiya Atma Prajna, the summative effect of human nervous system, or is it a separate mass of awareness untouched by the physical and finer structure? Clearly, Vedanta says consciousness is an independent entity, right, which is all-pervading, eternal, and which only reflects in the Shariram. This is Vedanta's position. And science has also not been able to create consciousness so far, right? So that is the response to this. Yeah, what does Vedanta say about the activity of the souls when they leave a body, right? Does it immediately enter another body, or does it remain in the consciousness for some time before it re-enters a new body? Simply does not enter any body forever. This question was from a person who spoke about planchets, and I actually did not know much about planchets, but I read about it so that I could respond to this question. And the answer to this is, very clearly Vedanta says that the jiva at the end of this, you know, janma, when death happens, it actually gets a sthula shariram in a very minute or subtle form and travels. This is extensively discussed in Brahma Sutra 311, okay, the third chapter, right? And in the third chapter, first pada, the entire pada deals with this. And also there are two Upanishads that discuss this. One is Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 6.2 and fifth chapter, section 3-10 of Chandogya Upanishad, right? Panchagni Vidya discusses this and very clearly says, Vyasacharya in fact establishes that the disembodied jiva travels with the physical body. Only difference is that the body is not tangible and visible, and it is in the minutest form, and it actually goes through 5 different stations, etc., and then finally it becomes a whatever, the ultimate body, etc. So this is what Vedanta says, and these are the references. So if you're interested, you can go through these as well, right? Now, this part I actually covered already. Is religious worship of any kind necessary for being a spiritual being? Yes, for Chitta Shuddhi, it is needed, right? I actually discussed at length, and I discussed Saguna Brahman and Nirguna Brahman. Saguna Brahman is nothing but Ishvara, right? And Antakarana Shuddhi also I already discussed, right? So I don't think we need to do this. Now let me see if there are any questions from people here, and then we can take this up. Right. So if any of you have any questions which you would like to clarify now, you can put up your hand.
There are quite a few questions which have been typed in.
Okay, okay. Let me just open that. Yeah. Is it possible to continue self-realization journey at higher worlds like Devaloka, Vishnuloka and Brahmaloka are the durations one can be in this loka is not time bound based on accrued punya's exhaustion. Yeah, I just spoke about it. Now, the treatment is different. In Swargaloka, there is a good chance that you will also exhaust the punyam and return to human janma or some other janma. That possibility is there. But in Brahmaloka, right, which is, you know, Kramamukti, you go to Brahmaloka and you actually go through, you complete whatever is left over and you attain mukti. That is the difference, right? So, different lokas, the treatment is different and been discussed. But in general, other than Brahmaloka, everywhere else, you have a chance that there is fructifying prarabdha which can make you come back, right? So, that is always there. Therefore, the intelligent thing is to make sure that you try and, you know, focus on getting Jeevan Mukti and Videha Mukti here and there when you get, when you have a chance in the human janma. That is important. Right? Okay. What does the Shastra say about the purpose of all creation? Why were all the Jeevas created? See, the Jeevas are anadi. Creation is anadi. So, there is no explanation for why it was created at all, because they are all anadi. They've been existing for infinite time, right? So that is the reason why. If you ask me why is a new creation created, then the answer is to make sure that the current set of prarabdhas of the composite group of jivas is exhausted. But if you ask me all creations, no, it is anadi, right? I hope I answered this. Okay, please provide the link for Vedanta Satsanga where I can find your audio clips for Gita. Okay, I'll just show you the site. Maybe you can just take a look at it. VedantaSatsanga.org. I think you can see it on the screen now. Right? It is just VedantaSatsanga and then Satsanga, SatsangHa. .org. Right? Okay. Then, one second. I am from US. I would like to know if it's possible to continue this Vedanta journey online. See, that's the options I've given you, except that if you want to attend Swamiji's classes, whenever you're in Chennai, you can come here, attend a few classes, and then after that, there is a way by which you can sort of, you know, enroll for few of the online recordings and it would be put up. But it's still only the recording that's put up. Right? But if you have somebody in Chennai who can buy and send you these CDs, you can definitely listen. Or in the meantime, if you don't want to waste time, whatever I have put up, at least 25 classes of chapter 1 and 2, my recording, for the sake of my students, I've put it in VedantaSatsanga.org along with the PowerPoint so you can download and listen to them. A further discussion into the concept of reflected consciousness would be helpful. Is that consciousness just a reflection and not really the supreme consciousness? Yes, it is like the image you see in the mirror. Now, the reason why I'm not discussing this further is I think I mentioned this in one of the classes. There are different theories with respect to this reflection itself. The most simplified form of presentation is what, you know, was presented as reflected consciousness here. This is called, you have Pratibimbavada, you have Abhasavada, you have Avachedavada. Instead of reflection, they use a concept of space enclosed in pot and total space. So, there is Avachedavada. Now, all these different vadas and prakriyas, all within Advaita itself, very many acharyas have discussed and deliberated at length, right? So, your spiritual journey will take you through all of these And at some point in time, you will identify yourself with one of the prakriyas better than the others, because that might happen to be your favorite, right? So that is why there is no point in talking too much about those in an introductory session, right? Okay, as I understand, God's grace will burn up papas, and as far as punya, we can say, etat punya phalam Shri Krishnam samarpayami. Now for karmas, there is no burning up. I think I answered this question in terms of how, you know, Advaita Vedanta differs from the others, right? We cannot, if we don't have kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam, then fresh agami karma won't come. Right? That is how jnanis don't accumulate fresh agami karma. But prarabdham, they anyway have to exhaust. Is creativity a result of spontaneity in consciousness or just prarabdha karma? It's a combination of both, actually. So exhausting of karma doesn't seem possible. Yes, absolutely. You can exhaust karma, or I should say within double quotes, exhaust karma only through jnanam, right, and giving up the kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam, right? That's the only way you can. You cannot try and exhaust the karma in the normal way. Why is there so much disparity in death? Some attain anayasana maranam and some suffer. It is because of prarabdham. You can't do anything about it. You can at most neutralize some of it. Some of it you can alleviate with your agami karma, but if your prarabdham is very strong, with less restraint and less resistance, if you go through, it will be a lot easier, right? Yeah, are you planning any further courses in this platform? Many of my doubts were cleared. Yes, we are thinking of it, we are still discussing, so we will let you know if something is coming up, right? Yeah, same question. When are you starting next level of Vedanta classes, right? Okay, I think I've answered everything, Soumya. Can you just check if I'm missing anything?
Yes, all the questions asked today have been answered.
And all the ones that came by email also, I put them in the PowerPoint.
Yes.
So it's done. So let us chant Purna Mada. I recommend that each one of you also chant this wherever you are, because it is, we are completing the course today, and it is important for us to, you know, definitely, you know, continue this journey. It is very, very important for us, right? Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti.